Wednesday, March 12th. The time is 3:30 p.m. Senators present today, Senator French, Senator Michicki, Senator Bishop, and myself, Chair Senator Giesel. Vice Chair Dyson is in Senate Judiciary. He'll be along shortly. Senator Fairclough is probably with Senate Finances somewhere. We'll be along, and I believe Senator McGuire will be joining us later, too. Our recording secretary today, Ann Krekelberg. Thank you so much, Ann, for being here. And helping us here at the Juneau LIO is Kathleen, and she's going to be doing a yeoman's job today. We also have multiple staff in LIOs around the state, so I thank them at this point also. So today's agenda item is HB 77, version H. That's H as in hotel. Land use, disposals, exchanges, and water rights. The committee has received numerous letters and emails of both support and opposition, and these are today's packet. Every committee member has these at their seat. We also have, for committee members, a letter from DNR answering some questions that Senator Donnie Olson posed. Senator Olson is not a member of the committee, but he had some questions which I thought would be beneficial for committee members to hear also. So that is distributed, is being distributed right now to committee members. Folks in the public can see this letter as well as other supporting documents for this bill on BASIS. So you can go to BASIS. You find it at akleg.gov. If you're at an LIO and you're listening in, your LIO staff can help you find that. Today we're taking public testimony on the H version of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77. And this is very different. This is a very different bill than we heard last summer. So some of the major changes in the bill. Individual person and federally recognized tribes can apply for water reservations. General permits are now limited to activities the department can already authorize through statute or regulation, an example of private docks or mooring buoys in a river or offshore. Large resource development projects would need much more than a general permit for their activities. The requirement for public notice and public comment are found throughout the bill. DNR is required also to consider 7 points in determining whether to grant a water reservation and whether that is in the public's best interest. These criteria include benefit to the applicant, the effect of the economic activity, the effect of fish and game on fish and game resources and on public recreation opportunities, the effect on public health, the effect of loss or alternate use of water, harm to other persons, and the effect on access to navigable or public waters. This list can be found on page 22 of the bill. The person and federally recognized tribes notation can be found on page 24. Other changes are throughout the bill. So we're going to start public testimony now. And these are the guidelines. 2 minutes. I'm going to take folks' testimony at the LIOs first, with one exception. The Barrow LIO is offline today. So folks from Barrow that are calling in, I'm going to insert between other LIOs because they don't have a functional LIO today. I'm going to be taking the names in the order they've signed up at the LIO, but I'm going to move from one LIO to the next so that we get a geographic distribution of public testimony. So we'll be coming back to your LIO, but I want to hear a diverse geographic area. Public testimony will end at 5 p.m. Many of us have meetings at 5 p.m. today, and so we'll need to be leaving. But folks that don't get to verbally testify today can email their testimony to my office, and your LIO staff, again, can help you do that. So my lists are coming, and while we're waiting on that, there is a gentleman here in Juneau who has to catch a plane tonight. He's from Dillingham, and so I promised him I would hear him first. Bobby Andrew. Are you here, Bobby? Welcome. So the guideline for each person testifying, please introduce yourself for the record. If you have an affiliation to a particular organization, say that. And then I'll start my timer. It'll go off at 2 minutes. So welcome.
Thank you. Senator Kathy Giesel and the members, I'm Bobby Andrew, and I represent Nunavut Dalhousie caretakers of our lands. which consist of village corporations and tribal governments in our region. I'm also president of Eliknagik Natives Limited, and I'm here basically because our village corporation, as well as some of the village corporations, oppose House Bill 77. And Monday's changes to the legislation do not go far enough to warrant its passage. The general permit provision still grants too much authority to the commissioner. The extensive nature of the general permit still allows too many important decisions and activities to take place without the public eye, without public notice, and without the public's right to appeal decision, and also without consulting with the current water reservations applicants, which I feel should be grandfathered in. The short general permit comment period of just 30 days almost ensures that the general permit itself will not get the type of review that it should before its approval. Automatic approval of all legal activities within the general permit area without public review denies the public the opportunity to address the decisions that take under a general permit that may have their greatest effect on the public. For instance, the stream crossings and water rights.
Bobby, your 2 minutes is up. Why don't you summarize?
That was quick.
It is quick. We have lots of folks that also want to speak.
What I'm going to do, as soon as I get back to Dillingham, I hope by Friday evening it's not too late to submit my further comments, and I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
And thank you for allowing me to be first.
You're welcome, and you can actually give what you've written there to my staff if you'd like, and then it'll go right in. So,
okay. Thank you.
Great. All right. So this is the order I'm getting these in. We'll start here with Dillingham. Luki Aklakok. Are you there, Luki?
Yeah. Hello.
Great. Welcome.
Hello. My name is Luki Aklakok, Sr. from Iqaluk. I'm the chairman of Iqaluk Tribal Council, chairman of Iqaluk Native Limited, and mayor for the city of Iqaluk. I am speaking today in that role. HB 77, as it's written in Senator Resource, if it cannot be fixed in this committee, it should die. The committee needs to fix the following. Define what it means to likely significant or
irreparable
harm. Define substantial and adversible impact. The entire newly written section on water reserved for person or tribe seemed like a water locked up, but for us in rural Alaska who live on the river, we must do everything to make sure we have adequate water in the river and stream for fish, wildlife, and for us to travel on these waters. We see this late version of the bill to favor out streams, us over in streams protected. Finally, based on NUVISTA's latest letter, dated on February 28, 2014, to Senator Hoffman, the Chukumanuk Dam Project and Feasibility Project be dropped. I would ask member of the committee then to move the delete the entire section 47 on line 16 to 23 of this page. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Luki, for your testimony. Next, I'm going to move to the Ketchikan LIO, Victoria McDonald. After that, I'm going to go up to Barrow for Hal Shepard. So first, Victoria in Ketchikan.
Yes, thank you. I am representing myself, and I also am opposed to HB 77 for many reasons. First, the Alaska Constitution states that out-of-stream uses are subject to, quote, the general reservation of fish and wildlife. The men and women, unquote, the men and women who crafted our Constitution recognize that access to fish and wildlife is for all residents. Secondly, this year's version allows foreign corporations to obtain rights to a water body. Alaskans cannot allow water rights to fall into private hands. Next, the DNR commissioner is granted the authority to issue general permits on state land, allowing an override of DNR's own laws and statutes. These general permits allow a range of activities over large areas of land, possibly prior to a specific activity. Activities that relate to this permit will be authorized under this permit and do not require public notice. Finally, House Bill 77 fails to define, quote, likely significant or irreparable harm, unquote. This is a subjective phrase and needs a specific definition. And in order to appeal a DNR decision, a citizen has to be, quote, substantially and adversely impacted, end quote. Once again, there is no objective definition. House Bill 77 proposes to rob Alaskans of our rights to our public domain. Please vote against this bill.
Thank you very much, Victoria, for your testimony. Hal Shepard is next in Barrow. After Hal, I'm going to go to Kodiak, Mike Fracaro. So first, Hal Shepard, Barrow. Welcome, Hal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Hal Shepard. Madam Chair, actually, I am in Seward. I think there's a little bit of confusion about where I'm located. So I'd be willing to pass next one and wait for Seward testimony.
Please proceed with your testimony. We'll take you now.
Thank you. I'm the director of the Center for Water Advocacy, and I think the biggest this bill certainly has had made a lot of records, I believe, in Alaska. There were a record number of tribal resolutions opposed to it last year. At least that's what some folks say. Yet, we Alaskans seem to be facing this legislation again for some reason. There have been over 41 tribal resolutions passed that are opposed to this piece of legislation. There were three or four different public hearings all over the state several months ago in which 700 people appeared. Our records indicate that there was one person in favor of this bill. There have been petitions. There have been radio shows in which an overwhelming number of individuals have been opposed to this bill, not because of its impact on the environment or water resources, but mostly because of its impacts on the civil rights and democracy in this state. And so we as the citizens of Alaska are really wondering why this bill is even being considered, if it is setting so many records in opposition to its even existence. And the amendments, I think that the governor's and DNR's response to that question is to come up with some cosmetic amendments to the bill that amount to pretty much nothing more than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And we still have a very bad piece of legislation that we are hoping that the legislator can uphold the principles of democracy and kills this bill in its entirety once and for all. Madam Chair, I also have written testimony from two tribal members from Elam who could not attend, go to Nome to testify, and I'm wondering if I might be able to read those on the record.
Your time is up, Hal. You can submit them in writing. Thanks very much. Let's see. Next, we're going to go to Kodiak, and Mike Fracaro is the first name on the Kodiak list. Mike, are you there? Right after, by the way, right after Mike, we will go to Homer, and that'll be Lori Daniel next in Homer. So right now, Mike.
Good afternoon, Senator Geisel and Resource Committee members. I am Mike Fracaro, a longtime fisherman and Kodiak resident. Thank you for letting me speak today. I would like to outline the major issues with HB 77 are not resolved by the recent amendments. HB 77 represents, to me, poorly written legislation. expanded power. It gives expanded power to the DNR commissioner, giving too much discretionary power to one individual. It diminishes public participation in the due process. It endows radical changes to existing water rights regulation. It limits my legal rights to challenge the DNR. It only represents the interests of extractors and resource developers, not the general public. It diminishes the rights of tribal organizations. It cancels and avoids due process and protections. It reduces our ability to protect water sources, eliminates public oversight at DNR activities, removes protections for fish and wildlife habitat. HB 77 expands governmental discretionary powers to an unacceptable level. Alaskans have a right to clean water and healthy fish and wildlife. We are on the eve of a resource extraction and exploratory boom, and the DNR will be inundated with unprecedented volume of permitting applications in the foreseeable future. This is not the time to streamline the permitting process and make it less rigorous. It is time to increase funding and staff at DNR and ensure there is adequate oversight. It is time to require mandatory baseline water volumes in all fish-bearing waterways. Comments at public hearings are overwhelmingly in opposition to this bill. Please vote against it. Don't let it leave committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike, for your testimony. Next is Lori Daniel in Homer. After that, we'll go to Cordova, Gabe Scott. So, Lori, you're up next.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on revised HB 77, also known as the Silencing Alaskans Act. Upon review, the bottom line, the amendments presented in the revised version do not address the major problems with this legislation. The most controversial parts remain largely unchanged. Rather than working together with concerned Alaskans, the administration developed this revision behind closed doors, taking 10 months to produce and allowing a bare 2 days for public review. Revised HB 77 still eliminates opportunities for the Alaskan public to weigh in on land, water, and natural resource development decisions statewide. It impacts almost any activity or use on state land that requires a permit. The bill still takes the power away from the people and holds it in the hands of state government. It does this by granting broad powers to DNR, notice and comment periods from permitting activities. The bill still makes it difficult for the public to challenge DNR decision. It still takes water reservation rights away from tribes, native corporations, nonprofit organizations, and individuals. And the text of the bill uses ambiguous, undefined terminology such as unlikely to cause significant or irreparable harm and substantial and adversely affected. The revision is not at all a compromise between the original aggressive legislation and what the public has been overwhelmingly calling for. It undercuts the fair and reasonable, publicly engaged, transparent, democratic process that has been successfully used in land, water, and natural resource management in Alaska for many decades. The effect is to keep Alaskans in the dark. This is an unmistakable example of overreach of power and authority on the part of the state. HB 77 clearly favors broad-based extractive development activity over careful development encompassing ecosystem-based natural resource management and protection. This short-sighted approach goes against what we as a nation have learned from past mistakes and ignores our obligation to protect future good. I ask that you do not support HB 77 in any of its forms. Please do not pass this bill forward out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori, for your testimony. Next, we're going to Cordova. That's Gabe Smith. After Cordova, we'll be going to Fairbanks. That's Daniel Lum. Gabe, you're up.
Okay. My name is actually Gabriel Scott.
Thank you.
I am in Cordova. I'm a resident here. I'm speaking on behalf of myself as well as I'm the Alaska Legal Director for Cascadia Wildlands. And I guess we are one of those nonprofit conservation organizations that the governor is so fearful of. I want to make 2 points, 2 minutes. First, this is a solution in search of a problem. There is not a problem with development, legitimate development, being blocked by public participation. And so it's mystifying why this bill is even being considered. I'm at a loss to think of one example of a legitimate development project that's been stopped through a state appeal. The only times where development has ever slowed down is where an agency has flagrantly broken the law. And so be clear, the interest this bill protects is the interest in agencies getting away with flagrantly breaking the law. The second point I want to make is that this bill doesn't do what you think it is going to do. It doesn't streamline development. What it does is codify the idea that rather than having a what I would call a democracy, that is where regular citizens can participate through the process, what it does instead is to force confrontation in litigation. Every time you cut out an appeal right or a comment right or a public notice right, that leaves the only option are for regular Alaskans to team up with some well-moneyed organization with a team of lawyers who has time to do nothing but address a particular project. And I want to give you one example of what this would mean here in Cordova. Several years ago, Cascadian and a local fisherman, a local business owner, appealed a DEC's grant of the contingency plan for Trans-Alaska Pipeline. That's DEC, but the same principle applies.
Gabe, your 2 minutes are up. So thanks very much for your testimony. All right, next we're going on to the Fairbanks LIO. That's Daniel Lum. After Daniel, we'll go to Sitka, and that's Matthew Donahue. So Daniel, in Fairbanks, you're on.
My name is Daniel Lum, and I'm from Barrow, and I'm speaking on behalf of my six beautiful kids who eat off the land and out of the waters. First of all, you legislators, can you not hear the overwhelming majority of Alaskans against HB 77? Don't you hear this? How can you still be considering this? Industry has gotten turned down on some specific projects, so through our legislation, they're maneuvering you legislators, pressuring you legislators into pushing this bad bill into law. It hardly even seems legal. Your votes on this bill would silence our rights to speak up on these issues that affect our families. This is not China. This is not Russia. But if this legislation passes, we will be no better than them, an all-powerful government that disregards its own citizens. These amendments are not acceptable. They are thinly veiled outs for our legislators opposed. This is too much power with the commissioner, and there's no appeal process. I encourage you legislators to stand up against your campaign sources for your own citizens, for your own Alaskan citizens. Everybody's against this. How can you be considering this still? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Daniel, for your testimony. Next, we're going to Sitka. That's Matthew Donahue. After Matthew in Sitka, we're going to go to the Kenai LIO, Gerald Brookman. So, Matthew, you're on.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is Matt Donahoe. I've been a fisherman in Sitka here for, I don't know, I'm losing track. I think it's pushing 40 years now. I want you to know, we're watching you guys here on that screen, and you know, we're just like you. We're Alaskan people who are out here trying to make a living, and as a fisherman, I'm on the board of Alaska Trollers Association, and we're just very concerned about the protection of habitat and some of the language in this bill. For instance, the lack of definition, you know, the irreparable harm. One man's irreparable harm is another man's profits, and it worries us quite a bit that there's not a definition of what that is in the bill. It also worries us that the arbitrator of that is the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. I'm sure he's a wonderful man and everything, but he wasn't elected, and it seems like the people's voices here are opposed to this bill. We have a lot of things in common here. Our fishing group have been very concerned about the abuse of the Endangered Species Act. We'd like to see changes in that. But this bill, the language for this bill only came out 2 days ago, and we can't get together with our group and discuss what's in it. We oppose the original bill as written, my group, the Alaska Trollers Association, but we can't even get together to have to comment on this as a group because we've only had 2 days to look at the language, not even that. So I think that's a miscarriage of democracy there. It's not transparent. There's about 20 people in this room, and a lot of them aren't going to be able to testify because we only have an hour and a half total to testify here, and I just want to put the word in. I'm sure there's nobody here that's going to support this bill. But thank you very much. Just remember that we're out here in the world. We're Alaskans, and we're just like you guys. I know you want to do the best you can for the state of Alaska.
Thank you for your testimony, Matt. Your 2 minutes is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kenai LIO is Gerald Brookman. He'll be next. And then we're going to go here in Juneau. We'll hear from Albert Judson. So, Albert, if you're in the room, if you want to come up to the table. Gerald Brookman in Kenai, you're on.
Hi. I'll be brief. I know there are a lot of folks who want to testify. I would just like to say that I know the changes that have been made are for the best. They're good. But I think really the only way this bill can really be improved is to just deep sex it. I don't think it's worthy of your time and effort. I think it's it gives too much power to the DNR commissioner to the detriment of the state's people and the wildlife and fish. It's just not something we need, and I agree with everything I've heard so far, and I hope you'll listen to the folks who are testifying and kill this thing. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Gerald. So here in the room we have Albert Judson, and after Albert we'll go to the Anchorage LIO, Dan Dunaway. So first, Albert, welcome.
My name is Albert Judson. I'm a registered voter. I'm not here to represent any organization, native or non-native. I'm here to only ask one question. I would like to know when and how the mission statement for the Department of Natural Resources was changed, and whether anybody in the committee knows. My rationale is very simple. You need the mission statement to conduct business. So I would just like to know if you know the mission statement as it currently stands and how it was changed to the way it is right now. That's all.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony, Albert. Next, we're going to the Anchorage LIO, Dan Dunaway. After Anchorage, we're going back to Dillingham and Herman Nelson. So in Anchorage, Dan Dunaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Dan Dunaway, lifelong Alaskan resident of Dillingham for the last 25 years. I want to raise particular attention to the Chicoutimi Lake study language. I would like to see that purged, if you don't just throw away the whole bill. Couple things. The one single privately owned piece of land in that area belongs to the Bristol Bay Area Heritage Land Trust, and it is the only likely site for any hydroelectric development. And I think I'm not speaking for anybody but myself, but I think the land trust selected that site to make sure development didn't occur. Also, I'd like to call your attention. I've tried to email you a news item from the KDLG radio that said NuVista has shelved that program wisely for a whole bunch of reasons, but it shouldn't be done. Also, I'd like to say I share Senator French's concern that DNR is not processed any completed applications, and DNR should not be allowed to sit on these completed applications for 22 years or extensive times without some sort of response from the applicant. Some of the other language you introduced on Monday, like others have said, was way too short a time for anybody to respond to. I've been in a bunch of meetings here in Anchorage and can't even find the language. But some of them are slight improvements. I really like that you're recognizing tribal entities, but not near enough. I support Bobby Andrew and Lukey Acklecock's concerns on those things. A 30-day public comment periods when you're out living in the bush and subsisting, it seems inevitable that these things show up in the middle of June or salmon season when they're all spread out fishing and subsisting, and we can, half the time don't even hear about them in time to respond. So overall, I'm still very much opposed to HB 77 and hope you listen to the many requests to just eliminate it. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony, Dan. So we're going now to Dillingham again, Herman Nelson. After Dillingham, we're going to go to a Barrow resident, Peter Christopher. But first, Herman Nelson in Dillingham. Welcome, Herman.
Hi, Madam Chair, Resource Committee members. My name is Herman Nelson, Sr. I'm from Kalinic. I'm a tribal president of Kalinic Tribal Council and the president and chair of the board of Kalinic Native Limited. I am speaking today in those roles. House Bill 77 would make it more difficult for an individual Alaskan to challenge DNR's decision. Even if DNR didn't follow their own rules, it would give too much power to the committee of DNR to disregard DNR's own laws and statutes and have taken years to develop through public participation. This House Bill 77 gives the commissioner too much authority and not the protection part of why tribes speak for water and the resources that we depend on in our small communities. And as you know, there's like 200-300 rural communities, and each one of those rural communities are tribes. DNR heard the cry from tribes in Alaska, and this latest version allows for persons and tribes to apply for water reservations. We didn't apply for them to keep the water. We applied for them to protect the water needed for salmon and other wildlife resources. Based on NuVista's latest letter dated February 28, 2014, to Senator Hoffman, the Chikunuk Gun Project and Feasibility Project be dropped. I live not too far from there, and we have the Woodtickchick Lakes that is part of Chikimna, and that's one of the most beautiful places that you could go. And I would think that you wouldn't want a town built up there or have hydro because it's natural. One of the things that I would like to also say that salmon in 2013, the escapement was 800,000 in the Nooshigak. And when I talk about the Nooshigak, you got the Malchatna and the Nuyakup rivers that funnel into the Nooshigak.
Herman? Herman, your 2 minutes are up. Thank you so much for your testimony. We're going to go next to a Barrow resident, Peter Christopher. After Peter, we are going to go to Kodiak, and Alexis Kwachtka is up. But first, Peter Christopher, Barrow. Peter, are you there? Peter, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for joining us. Please give us your testimony.
Okay. This is Peter Christopher from New Stuyak. I'm the vice president of Stuyak Limited. I'm also sit as a Nooshigak advisory for the Nooshigak fishery. I'd like to go on that Chikuminuk Lake. When those folks came in from Bethlehem to put in that hydro electric, the village community of New Stuyak object to that because the elders states that there's salmon that goes up to Chikuminuk Lake. There's an old site there that had archaeology study, and it dated back 3,000. It's on the right north side there. I was there. I know where it's at. So I'd oppose any of the hydro electric development in that area. It may it'll impact the salmon that do go up there. I'm still in opposition to that House Bill 77 as I did in Anchorage testimony. I shouldn't be shut down in order to speak for my people and for the natural resources that we have within the state of Alaska. The DNR is trying to shut the people of all Alaskans in this state of Alaska. We should have a right to speak. Because it's important. We live within our natural resources. We're in a remote village. And that's why we're so concerned that if there's any developments are made or suggested by DNR or permitted, if we don't have a voice, it'll impact the rural village folks. And also, not
Peter, thank you for your testimony. Your 2 minutes is up. Thanks very much for calling in. Next, we're going to go to Kodiak, and that's Alexis Kwachka. And after Alexis, we're going to hear from Mary Sattler at the Bethel LIO. So, Alexis, you're on.
Madam Chair, Resource Committee, for the record, my name's Alexis Kwachka. I'm a commercial fisherman, and I'm not going to belabor this too much. There's been excellent testimony before me. I'm going to go on the record adamantly opposing the amendments and HB 77 as it stands now. You know, you're hearing an overwhelming no. So please do not move this out of committee. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alexis. So next we're going to hear from Mary Sattler in Bethel. And then after that, let's see, we'll go to Homer again. Phil Gordon will be on next. So, Mary, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am not speaking on behalf of myself. I'm going to read into the record a letter written by Stan Fu, who is the general manager for Donlin Gold. Dear Senator Geisel, thank you for the opportunity to comment on CS HB 77. Donlin Gold supports changes in law that improve regulatory efficiency and add clarity to the permitting process. We also support efforts to cut unnecessary red tape without diminishing important environmental standards. Donlin Gold believes that CS HB 77 strikes an important balance that provides for a rational framework for permitting natural resource development projects while protecting the public's right to participate in that process. Donlin Gold believes that it is important to have a robust and efficient regulatory regime and understands the difficulty in striking a balance that protects all public interests while reducing unnecessary obstacles to responsible development. The state currently has an excellent model for agency coordination with its large mine permitting process team process. We support efforts to ensure that state agencies are able to efficiently issue and manage permits while safeguarding Alaska natural resources. Donlin Gold appreciates the effort by the administration and the legislature to develop this improved bill and fully supports CS HB 77. Sincerely, Stan Fu, General Manager.
Thank you, Mary, for the testimony. Next, let's see, we're going to Homer. Phil Gordon is on next. After Phil, we're going to go to Cordova, and that will be Rosemary McGuire. So first, Phil Gordon.
Thank you very much. You should know there is an entire room full of citizens here in Homer who are not going to be able to testify in the 1.5 hours that you allow testimony on this bill. That pretty well represents the anti-democracy that we're having from our administration and government. We can't have enough time to comment as citizens. However, you legislators are probably sick of hearing all of this opposition to this bill, so let me just recognize the power here. It's perfect if your job as the government of Alaska is to unload our resources as fast as possible. However, if your job is to represent citizens of Alaska or to allow citizens to participate in the management of our resources, this bill needs to be killed. The framers of our Constitution in Alaska specifically noted citizens have ownership of our resources. Public opinion in a democracy in Alaska is not something to be avoided. It's something that we need to emphasize, not minimize. An hour and a half for comment, for example. The streamlining by HB 77 is short-sighted. It's anti-citizen. It's anti-democracy. It ignores the need to protect resources for future generations of Alaskans. Kill this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Phil. So next we're going to Rosemary McGuire in Cordova. After Rosemary, the Fairbanks LIO, Kaylin Christensen. So first, Rosemary. Welcome, Rosemary.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Very clear.
This is Rosemary McGuire in Cordova. I'm a second-generation commercial fisherman, and I'm going to speak as fast as possible in the hopes that some other people get a chance to comment.
I'm very much opposed to House Bill 77. I think it's perfectly ludicrous that we're not even getting enough time to comment on a bill that removes our ability to comment. I'm appalled that it would give so much authority to the commissioner. It just seems completely undemocratic to me, and really risky. I mean, my livelihood depends on a healthy watershed, and I don't see that this is going to necessarily make that possible. So, thanks, and I hope more people can fit time in.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Rosemary. Next, we're going to, as I said, Fairbanks. That's Kaylin Christensen. After that, we'll go to Sitka. Eric Jordan will be up after him. So, Kaylin first.
Yes, my name is actually Kaylin Christensen. I'm speaking on the behalf of the Fairbanks youth, some of which I believe have actually traveled to Juneau to testify. But this is my first time ever testifying, and I live here in Alaska, and I love the place that I live, and so I want to make sure that my voice and the voice of all future Alaskans will be heard in these decisions that affect all of us. In 1956, the Alaska Constitution was ratified. This phenomenal piece of writing explicitly reserves natural resources to the people of Alaska for common use and similarly offers safeguards to protect our resources and our interests in them. In light of the current House bill proposal, I would like to say that I just hope that our Alaskan lawmakers, those that swore under oath to uphold our Constitution, will remember not their social responsibilities or not their responsibilities that they've built around their personal investments, but will acknowledge that their role as part of this state and their responsibility to act in the interest of their concerned constituents. So I implore this bill in any amended form not be passed. And if it is, I question how the Alaskan people can ever have faith in their government. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kaylin, for your testimony. Next up, then, is Sitka, Eric Jordan. After Eric will be Kenai LIO. And let's see, I'm looking at Gerald Brockman's already done it. Robert Ruffner. So first, Eric Jordan. Eric?
Chair Gossel and committee members and listening Alaskans, my name is Eric Jordan, a 64-year Southeast Alaska fisherman. I want to thank you for taking the time to hear my comments on rewritten House Bill 77. Which the governor and sponsors of this bill have made clear they don't want to hear, consider, or respond to in the future. I was opposed to the Silencing of Alaskans Act, House Bill 77, when it was introduced, and facilitated a discussion in Sitka where not one person of the over 50 in attendance spoke in favor, in spite of my repeated invitations. Please kill this bill now and send a Senate resolution to Governor Parnell asking him to apologize to Alaskans for introducing this muzzling of Alaskans Act and then not engaging Alaskans in a meaningful rewrite process of this piece of legislative trash. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Eric. Next up, we have Robert Ruffner. Following Robert, here in Juneau, Melanie Brown will be after him. So, Melanie, if you want to come to the table. Robert Ruffner at Kenai, you are on.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Robert Ruffner. I'm the Executive Director of the Kenai Watershed Forum here in Soldotna. The Kenai Watershed Forum is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to work together for healthy watersheds on the Kenai Peninsula. We've been accomplishing this mission through three major programs. We do education work, we do research and restoration. We've worked extensively with the resource agency since our incorporation in 1997. Our organization has had budgets in excess of $3 million, much of which has been spent on stream restoration type work. The restoration projects that we engage in are mostly focused on culverts and fish passage, but we've also tackled much more complex projects that involve diverting sections of the Anchor River, which is a relatively large river where we had to move the stream out of its channel for more than a quarter of a mile. So that's a very popular river, and it's one that people pay a lot of attention to. And we're very familiar with the regulatory requirements for permitting in a multi-jurisdictional environment. And as we do that, we've maintained a stellar relationship with the permitting staff that oversee those permits. So we don't see the broken problem here. This bill was brought to our attention first by Senator Michicki, and we applaud the efforts that he took to gather more input and address the concerns and bring them back to this committee. I'm going to focus my comments exclusively on the CS version, Section 42H, page 23, line 18. This subsection consolidates discretionary authority in the commissioner with no transparency or certainty for fair consideration. We don't think it's that every water right should be granted, nor do we think every reservation should be granted, but there needs to be a fair process for consideration and a clear pathway to reach a decision. We must make decisions to help guide us and evaluate the risk before we invest tens of thousands of dollars to pursue a reservation. And our board of directors is very mindful of spending this kind of money to make these investments, and we
Robert,
need to make sure that there's some.
Robert, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your 2 minutes is up. I know you have a lot more to input. This is about the halfway mark of this committee hearing, so folks that are there in your LIOs, if you've gotten written testimony, you might think about handing it to your LIO moderator. We're going to move on now. The next person is Melanie Brown here in Juneau. Welcome, Melanie. After Melanie, we're going to the Anchorage LIO, Laura Comer. So first, Melanie, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Melanie Brown. I live here in Juneau in the winter with my family. In the summer, I live with my extended family in Bristol Bay. I go to Bristol Bay every summer to the Naknek River District to commercial fish. When I'm not commercial fishing, I gather subsistence foods for my family. Other members of my family help me fill my freezer with caribou moose and deer, and this helps to offset our cost of living quite considerably because I don't have to go to the store and buy meat and fish to feed my family. The reason I bring this up is because I'm really concerned about how traditional and customary use fits in with the definition of standing according to how this bill is written. In more than seven sections that I noted, the language substantially and adversely affected is used to define who has the right to appeal a DNR land use decision. And it's only defined once in Section 39, and my fear is that the way it's defined excludes traditional and customary users, that more commonly known as subsistence users. The definition states that physical or financial detriment to the person's interests is what defines whether or not they have the right to stand in front of DNR to appeal a decision. And it's really difficult to quantify the value of subsistence or traditional and customary food to a family who, in dollars and cents, to a family who relies heavily on those activities. And if that was not your original intent, I would ask that you please revisit this language and these sections to make sure that they're written very clearly to include traditional and customary users. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. We're not going to take time for questions from committee members because we've got lots of folks waiting to speak. So Laura Comer is next. And after Laura, she's in the Anchorage LIO. We're going to go to the Dillingham LIO. Herman Nelson is waiting to speak. So first, Laura.
Hi, my name is Laura Comer. I have a question real quick before I pass off my time to Stuart Grenier. Why haven't we heard from the Matsu LIO? And I pass the rest of my time off to Stuart.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on House Bill 77. I would like to point out things that were said at a constituent hearing for Muldoon with Senator Welikowski and Max Grunberg, Representative, and Representative Ledoux. Max Grunberg pointed out that across the board, we're seeing the public cut out of the process on very important decisions, often involving resources. This is something that we really need to be concerned about, and after listening to the testimony from all over the state, I'm even more concerned about. I'd also like to point out that we have seen some changes in technology, which people need to be aware of. UAVs are now capable of zapping people with all kinds of different devices, and once we get corporations in, they will have unbelievable abilities to police their areas. It may be very well that what we're seeing here is the third worlding of Alaska, and I would like to see this bill die, and I'd like to see public become more aware of everything and people get more involved, because I believe technological changes have brought different options to light that we all need to be aware of. And we'll probably see them employed first in the third world, and then they might try to employ them here. Thank you.
Thanks very much for your testimony, Stuart. I was just handed the Matt Sue sign-up sheet. Warren Keogh is there. Warren, I'll have you speak next. After Warren, I made him an error there. Thank you so much for correcting me. Dillingham, Herman Nelson was next. Then we'll go to the Matt Sue. So, Herman, welcome.
Chair, this is Dillingham LIO, and Herman has spoken. So we have next on our list Dennis Andrew, if it pleases the chair.
Thank you so much. That would be great.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dennis Andrew Sr. from Neustrojak. I serve on Neustrojak Tribal Council and Neustrojak Limited Board of Directors. I speak to those two organizations. I am opposed to the latest version of House Bill 77 as it is presented to Senate Resource Committee. I am opposed to any limited or public participation of notice. We should do more or to encourage sharing of information and working together rather than working together for benefit of Alaskans that seem to be lagging along two sides, resource development versus environmental protection. This bill further divides us. For those of us in rural Alaska, we can't just go to cars or Safeway. We rely on waters of our fish and land of our game, but we use the water to gain access in the harvest of the game. The water is our dinner table. House Bill 77 made many problems that need to be fixed. The latest version still gives the commissioner of DNR too much authority, or he or she can discourage any law or regulations within DNR if he or she believes it's for good for the state. By doing this, we've added politics into the decision-making, which influenced by whom has many money to pay that high-priced lobbyist. This bill has terms such as sustainability, wealthy impact, or likely realistically incredibly harmed, which means what? Those are the terms we don't use in Alaska. Based on the Vista latest letter dated on February 28, 2014 to Senator Hoffman, that Chukumnuk Dam Project Feasibility Project be dropped, I would ask members of the committee to move and delete the entire Section 47 online from 16 to 23.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Dennis. Your 2 minutes is up. Thanks so much for testifying. The next person then is at the Matt Sue, Warren Keogh, and from Chickaloon, and then we're going to go to the off-net. We're going to hear from Nuitsik, Martha Itta. So first of all, Warren in Matt Sue. Welcome, Warren.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for recognizing those of us in the Matt Sue Bureau. There are about 20 people here. We're glad that we're finally able to have one of us speak anyway. I'm Warren Keogh, speaking only for myself as a private landowner with a stream running through my property, as a water right holder of surface and subsurface waters, and as a former water rights coordinator for the Fish and Wildlife Service in Alaska. House Bill 77 is a multifaceted, Medusa-like bill that is fundamentally flawed. I had hoped that the public outcry and several meetings over the past few months would result in significant changes to the bill. Unfortunately, the meager changes brought forward by the Department of Natural Resources in Monday's committee meeting are more superficial than substantive. The overused saying, lipstick on a pig, comes to mind. I'll address only two aspects of the many, many problems with this bill. They regard changes to Alaska's Water Use Act. First, in regard to temporary water use permits, the language added to Section 43 explicitly allowing repeated issuance of five-year-long temporary water use permits for projects that may go on for decades defies the definition of temporary. Temporary means short-termed. It does not mean long-term or indefinite. It should not mean an indefinite number of five-year DNR permits issued for projects that continue on for decades while the DNR commissioner avoids adjudicating a water reservation application for the same water body. Second, in regard to water reservations, the term person has been rightfully returned to the bill's language. However, not allowing an applicant to hold the water reservation, but instead mandating transfer of the reservation to a public agency makes no sense. This amended language is an exercise in semantic smoke that disenfranchises the applicant and disincentivizes anyone from applying for an in-stream flow reservation in the first place. What is my incentive for expending time, effort, and money to reserve a small amount of water in the stream that flows through my property for the purposes of protecting fish passage, spawning, and rearing habitat in perpetuity if I cannot hold that water reservation? I expend the effort to acquire the individual property right of reserving water only to have it transferred to a state agency? It makes no sense. Finally, we have established water law.
Warren, your 2 minutes is up, so I'll have to ask you to conclude. Thanks so much for your testimony. We're going to next go to Nuitsik, and Martha Itta is there. I see that there's also Sam and Eli on the same phone. So first we'll start with Martha in Nuitsik. Martha?
It's B70.
Yes, we can hear you, Martha. Please proceed.
Okay. The HB77 for a lot of reasons. One, we heavily depend on the subsistence, our subsistence food, and silencing us is a very big concern because we are heavily surrounded by oil and gas developments and experiencing a well blowout was really bad. We had no help whatsoever. No matter how much we concerned, it was not being heard. So it is very important that our voices be heard and our concerns. Another reason why I oppose the HB 77 is to protect my children from cancer, from any kind of illness that the chemicals that we breathe in. We have already lost two babies. And I fear for my son's life every day being surrounded by development. So I would strongly recommend the legislation throughout the HB 77 bill for the sake of my children, my family, and my community. We have the right to live a healthy life. And this is not a good bill. This is a bill that will take all that away, so we deserve to live. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Martha, for your testimony. Now, I see that Sam is there with you also. Would he like to speak right now, as long as we've got your phone on?
Yes. Go ahead. Good afternoon. Yes, my name is Sam Kunangana. I'm a Native Village Council member for the Native Village of Nuakchot, and I am strongly opposed to HB 77 for reasons, that give certain people a right to, change the way we do our traditional way of life around this area. And, with development being around our area and us being heavily impacted, I strongly recommend that they just throw HB 77 out. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Eli. And how about, Sam, how about Eli? Is he there?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Eli Nukabura, Vice President of the Native Village of New York City. I also strongly support House Bill 77 for the reasons of our people that depend on our waterways, because we are not connected to the road at this time, but on a seasonal basis we are connected in the wintertime when I saw this bill. The effect of our people have been already happening. Our way of life has diminished because of the industrialized oil and gas that is heavily upon our land that we depend on for our food, and also the lakes and the rivers that we depend on that have fish in them, that our food chain will be happening very fast because of some of the things that are happening in our, right there in that next door. It's like, our way of life has been affected, and now our ways now will be affected. If we don't protect it now, who will protect us now? I strongly oppose H.B.O. 77. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Eli, for your testimony. Okay, so next, I fell down on my job. I was supposed to warn you ahead of time. I'm going to go to Homer, Joel Cooper, and after Joel, we'll go to Cordova, Jack Hopkins. So, Joel, you're on next.
Hi, yes, thank you for allowing me to testify. First, I'd like to say how much I'm disappointed in the amount of time you are allowing for people to testify. Currently, there's 18 people here at the LIO and Homer, and of the 18, all are opposed to the bill, and I'm sure they will not be able to testify in the short period of time that we have left. So with that said, I would encourage you to allow for more testimony in committee on this bill, be it later in this week or next week. And then I would like to say that I'm opposed to this bill. I feel this bill would substantially and adversely impact me, the people of Alaska, and the fish and wildlife of Alaska, and would likely cause significant or irreparable harm. And for that reason, I am opposed to the bill. I'm also disappointed that this bill is allowing broad powers to DNR to allow for very large geographic projects that could impact people and fish and wildlife, and people would not know. I'm also disappointed in how you've totally revamped the water in-stream water rights for filing for that, and I do not feel like that is adequate. And, again, I just like to say I'm opposed to this bill and would like you to kill it here now. Thanks.
Thanks for your testimony, Joel. So Jack Hopkins in Cordova is next. After Jack is Sarah Bartholo in Fairbanks. So first, Jack Hopkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is John Hopkins. I'm a lifetime resident of Alaska. I'm testifying on behalf of the Native Village of Eyak, which has a tribal membership of 536 members. We are opposed to HB 77 in any form. We feel that to allow a government agency that much power is not a benefit to the public or the tribes. So thank you for letting me testify, and that's all I've got to say.
Great. Thank you very much, Jack. Next is Sarah Bartholo, in Fairbanks. After that, we'll go to Sitka, and that will be James Swift. Sarah, you're on.
Okay. For the record, my name is Sarah Bartholo. I live here in Fairbanks and in McKinley Village, and I'm opposed to HB 77. This is my first public testimony. I am the environmentally minded wife of a North Slope oil field worker. Even within my own space, I see the contrasting interstices of how we utilize our environment. HB 77 excludes many Alaskans, regardless of how they choose to interact with the landscape, from having any say about it at all. In regards to my legal right to challenge DNR permitting and decisions, we deserve the right to argue against misalignment of priorities and the dismissal of regulations in DNR if DNR unintentionally or purposefully decides not to play by the rules. In regards to general permitting, the ambiguous language on activities and endgames versus the narrowing of public engagement to those adversely affected elevates the hostility of citizens you will deal with and now invites only negativity into the process. This is not how I want to interact with you, and I'm sure it's not the premise of interaction you'd like with your constituency. Citizens already adversely affected by actions within their landscape will fight, and many cases must. You will lose the citizens willing to engage in a positive political system. I do not aim to have every interaction with the political leaders as a negative one, but if you have such little trust in your citizens and aim to keep Alaskans in the dark, you only invite us to engage in the process and stand up for our landscape. I hope this is not the character of our relationship going forward. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Sarah. Next up, James Swift in Sitka. After James, we're going to go to the Kenai LIO, Stephen Schoonmaker. James, you're up.
Yeah, hello, Madam Chair. My name is James Swift. I'm a local fisherman here in Sitka. Been involved in fisheries politics for a long time. And the great thing about being involved in politics in Alaska is I've always felt like I had a voice. And that I know that I've met too many people involved in politics or who didn't get involved in politics because they were so powerless. They felt like their voice was not heard. But I've always felt in Alaska that I had a voice. And this HB 77 is going to take my voice away. And I don't really appreciate that. I'm a part owner in the resources of Alaska. And I strongly commit to you that you should dump this bill. It's not a good bill, and it's not good for anyone in Alaska. It brings back to mind what happened, why we became a state, was we didn't want large companies and outside people, dictating to us what to do with our resources. Those are our resources as Alaskans. And it's our business. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, James, for your testimony. Stephen Schoonmaker in Kenai is next. And after that, we're going to hear from someone here in the Juneau LIO, James Sullivan. Stephen, you're on.
Hello. My name's Steve Schoonmaker. I'm a 40-year Alaska resident. And I've testified before, like so many others, my concerns about HB 77. And with all due respect to elected officials, I'll say this. Listen up. Listen up to the tidal wave of opposition to this bill. If you really believe that Alaska state government should at least resemble the American ethics of democracy, then listen up. The public wants to continue to have a say in the interests of management of our collective commons, Alaska. This includes, beyond our rights and privileges as citizens, our rights and responsibilities as citizens in the stewardship of our waterways and salmon runs. Listen up. To the stories of the rest of Earth's salmon runs, listen up. You may get some valuable guidance that could save us all in common the irreplaceable loss and unnecessary grief of stuck-in-gear development. Listen up, please. That's what I'm asking. And please mandate listening up by law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Steve. So James Sullivan is here in the Juneau LIO. He'll be speaking next. And then we'll go to the Anchorage LIO, Monica Marshall. James, you're on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is James Sullivan, and I represent the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. I want to thank the committee and the Senate for taking the time to re-examine HB 77. It is a poor piece of legislation. And though improvements have been made since last year, HB 77 is still a flawed and destructive piece of legislation, in my opinion. HB 77 still empowers DNR to issue general permits for an activity over broad geographic areas of state land. Once the general permit is in place, you will never know about the specific projects authorized by it because these projects would not be noticed to the public. This is simply too broad a power, especially too broad considering that the threshold for these general permits is that they not cause significant or irreparable harm. The bar should be higher here in Alaska. The issue of standing has not been fixed. DNR says they need this language to stop outside groups from stopping DNR's permits, but the solution they've put in place in this legislation will only punish Alaskans. And I have to say, lastly, the length that DNR will go to not acknowledge the rights of individuals with water reservations is shameful. They have done everything in their power to ignore the law and ignore the rights of Alaskans. DNR has refused to issue water reservations to individuals, even with a court order telling them to do so. Now, DNR's last-ditch effort is to go to the legislature and ask them if they can be let off the hook. The new language renders the water reservations for individuals meaningless. Please don't let that happen. Do not pass this bill as written, and do not move this bill out of committee until the issues have been adequately addressed. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, James, for your testimony. Monica Marshall in Anchorage LIO is next. After that, we'll go to Dillingham with Kim Williams. Monica.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Monica Marshall, and I'm an Alaska resident attending Alaska Pacific University. As an Alaskan, I believe that it's my right to have a say in what happens to our resources. House Bill 77 would remove public notice and comment periods, thus leaving Alaskans out of the decision-making process. I am here on behalf of nearly 100 students that have taken action at Alaska Pacific University and used our voice to stand up for salmon. Thank you again, and I oppose House Bill 77. As a representative of Alaska's future generation, I hope you take my comment into consideration.
Thank you, Monica. Next, Kim Williams, Dillingham. After Kim, I'm going to go to the Matsu Dodd Shea. So, Kim, you're on.
Thank you. My name is Kimberly Williams, and I'm the executive director of Nunumpta Luxtai. Our organization is comprised of 10 village corporations and 10 tribal governments in Bristol Bay. My board is opposed to HB 77, even with the changes brought to the committee from DNR. Our organization gets criticized because our funding for advocacy, specifically to make sure we have enough water in our streams and rivers for fish and to support wildlife, is because the funding comes from outside of Alaska. How is that any different than the resource development side, which are developers from outside Alaska, and many of them foreign-owned corporations? Furthermore, to say the duty to protect fish and wildlife belongs to the Department of Fish and Game, we agree. However, it is our belief that since 2003, the agency's voice has been silenced by the continued development mandate coming out of DNR. As Alaskans, our elected officials have a duty to listen to Alaskans. Have an open and transparent process ensures that all voices are heard for resource development, but HB 77 eliminates this important right. The current version of HB 77 does nothing to address standing, which was one of the main concerns with the original bill. Define what it means to be substantially adversely impacted in order to appeal a DNR decision. There is no definition in the bill. Define likely significant or irreparable harm. Does this mean that the commissioner of DNR can issue a general permit if they are 51% certain that the harm can be repaired? And in what time? Today? Tomorrow? 10 years from now? Or in perpetuity? We don't know, and this needs to be defined. Finally, DNR saw the outcry from the tribes and persons across Alaska and added them back into the water reservation section. But it is now worse now in this current version of the bill. We believe that Section 42 needs major revisions. There is no need for Section 47, given the latest announcement by NuVista that they are moving away from Chicoutimi. We urge the committee to delete this entire section. For these reasons, we urge the committee to hold on to HB 77. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony, Kim. Next in the Matsu is Dodd Shea. After Dodd, we'll go to Homer Mako Haggerty. So first, Dodd. Welcome, Dodd.
Thank you. Dodd Shea, and I'm from Wasilla, Alaska. I'd like to state there are about 30 people around here waiting to testify, and everybody else seems like they've had four or five slots, and we've only had two. In 1983, I woke up incorporated into an 850-square-mile city of Afognik City, where all my rights have been taken away by development. City Council was appointed by Governor Hammond from a list majored by the major developer. I have a real problem with any resource development being developed without the people living in there having their public rights. If all the land and all the commerce is owned by multinational corporations, you have no voice, you have no rights, and you're there at their privilege, and you get asked to leave at their privilege. So I'm drastically against any further corporate states like Prudhoe Bay or Pebble Mine, where as a condition of employment you have to give up your constitutional rights. I feel that any development should be mapped out and a tremendous amount of land set aside for public housing, cities, and public development.
Is that it, Dodd?
Oh. I guess. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks very much for being there and testifying. So next going to Homer, Mako Haggerty. After Mako, we're going to Cordova, Alexis Cooper. So Mako, you're on.
Good afternoon. My name is Mako Haggerty. I am adamantly opposed to House Bill 77. I was opposed to it when it first showed up, and I'm opposed to it in its second reincarnation. It's just a bad idea. And I'm going to keep my testimony short because there just hasn't been enough time made to hear all of the opposition to this. And from everything I've heard so far, the only question I'm coming away from this committee meeting with is, where did this whole idea come from? I haven't heard anybody in favor of this except for the Donlan people, and they didn't even testify directly. They had one of their people come down and read a statement. So I'm not getting a sense that this is coming from the citizens of Alaska, but rather from some outside source. I'm really having a hard time that understanding why this bill hasn't been killed. But if you need any help with that, I would encourage you to kill it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mako. Next is Alexis Cooper in Cordova. After Alexis, we're going to Fairbanks, Pamela Miller. Alexis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Alexis Cooper. I'm speaking today on behalf of Cordova District Fishermen United, or CDFU, in Cordova. CDFU is a nonprofit organization, and we represent over 300 commercial fishing families who participate primarily in salmon fishing in Prince William Sound in the Gulf of Alaska. It is our mission to preserve, promote, and perpetuate the commercial fishing industry in Area E in the state of Alaska for the mutual benefit of all of our members. And we today do appreciate the opportunity to test on the new draft of House Bill 77. However, we feel the 48 hours provided for public consideration of the new language is too little to fully comprehend and meaningfully testify on this issue. Although changes have been made to the bill, our initial reading indicates that the primary areas of concern with the original bill do persist. The lack of definitions for several key terms and phrases leave far too much interpretation by future administration and commissioners. There remain gaps between the stated intent and the actual language of this bill, and we do remain uncomfortable with the expansion of the DNR power and the erosion of concerned and affected Alaskans' ability to have a voice in the process. And for these reasons, we ask this process be slowed and public dialogue continue in order to provide clarity before this bill moves further forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alexis. Next is Pamela Miller in Fairbanks. After Pamela, we're going to Sitka, Linda Benkum. So, Pamela.
My name is Pamela Miller, and I live here in Fairbanks. In the room, there's three others who wish to testify and one who had to leave early. I've reviewed DNR's changes to HB 77 revealed Monday and find the bill is still not balanced and remains flawed. This 25-page bill makes sweeping complex changes to the Alaska Land Act and Water Use Acts, but its effect is simple. It silences the voices of Alaskans, our ability to speak up to protect healthy fish runs, animals, lands, and the waters across the state. General permits allow agencies to issue one permit for a wide range of activities over broad geographic areas, as much as 1 million acres or more, for 10 years, potentially before an application is even submitted. While DNR removed the sweeping phrase in Section 1, notwithstanding any other provision of law, this permitting authority still has a box that it lets DNR pre-approve many kinds of activities from mining, exploration, and mine development, forest, timber, water use, things that affect our animals and fish, which could be done before we have any idea exactly when or where the activity might be approved, who is doing the activity, and so on. The addition of a public notice provision for general permits doesn't fix the problem because there is no opportunity once a specific project application is put in place for the public to comment. DNR's reliance on fish and game to protect fish doesn't ensure that DNR is carrying out its legal responsibilities to conserve our resources. DNR has, with respect to water reservations, it does protect a fraction of the stream flow for fish and other wildlife and navigation reasons, but...
Pamela, your 2 minutes is up. Thank you so much for your testimony. Next, we're going to Sitka, Linda Benkin, and after that, we're going to the Kenai LIO, Clark Whitney. Linda?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Linda Benkin testifying for the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, representing over 100 Alaska commercial fishing businesses. Our organization appreciates the committee's work on HB 77, but we're disappointed with the amendments. We had hoped these amendments would address broad-based concern with the bill, but believe they fall far short. Before going any further, I want to recognize and thank Senator McGuire for her comments this week relative to the amendments. This bill still does not define many terms, which is worrisome to us, and where terms are defined, as in adversely affected by a DNR decision, the definition significantly raises the bar for Alaskans to comment or object to DNR permitting decisions that affect important habitat and waterways. The bill still vests DNR with expansive discretionary powers to evaluate water use requests, both in terms of scope with general permits and timing with renewal of temporary permits and the elimination of assigned application processing priorities. The bill also adds 7 new issues that a DNR commissioner must consider before deciding if an in-stream flow is in the public interest, all couched in a tone suggesting that water simply left in a lake or river is somehow being wasted. This concerns our association and we hope concerns the committee. Water is important to Alaska's fish, and fish are important to this state for subsistence, recreation, and commercial purposes. Resource development should not jeopardize Alaska's streams, lakes, and waterways, nor should it adversely affect Alaska's subsistence, sport, and commercial fisheries. We ask that the committee vote down HB 77 and the Version H amendments. We ask that you instead consider alternative strategies for addressing the DNR permitting backlog. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Linda. Next, we're going, as I said, to Kenai, Clark Whitney, and then we're going to hear from Juno, Mike Satry. So first of all, Clark. Welcome, Clark.
Hello, my name is Clark Whitney, Jr. I'm a 50-year resident of Alaska. I'm raising my children here, and it's for them that I'm speaking today. I'm here to speak out against HB 77 because there is no need to further streamline the permitting process in Alaska. Over the past 20 years or so, the permitting process has already been severely streamlined, and I had prepared a statement to list all of the things that had been streamlined already, but instead I'd like to just say that I'm sitting here in the LIO office in Kenai. There are 25 people at least in this room, and most of them would like to speak out against HB 77. I'm the first person to get a chance to speak here today, and with any luck, maybe one more person will have a chance. But the rewrite of this bill was rushed on Monday, and then only 90 minutes have been allotted to hundreds of Alaskans across the state who care deeply about our state and will have been effectively silenced along with their testimony. I've been listening to the testimony offered by citizens from all across the state, and by my count, over 30 different testimonies, some representing large groups, have been levied against HB 77, with only one entity, a representative from the Donlin Gold Mine, in favor of HB 77. I'd like to ask that the committee please take note of this and provide more time for just additional testimony against HB 77, or just save us all a lot of time and get rid of HB 77. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony, Clark. For the record, everyone is having the same number of people at the different LIOs having an opportunity to speak. Mike Satry, you're here in Juneau. Anchorage LIO will be after Mike. I think it says Caesar Martinson in Anchorage. So Juneau is next. Mike.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Giesel, for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Mike Satry. I was born and raised in Southeast Alaska, and Juneau is my home. I work for the Greens Creek Mine. However, I'm here today in my capacity as the President of the Board of Directors of the Council of Alaska Producers. Council is a nonprofit trade association representing the major metal-producing mines and metal development projects in Alaska. I want to be clear that the Council has supported House Bill 77 since its introduction and passage by the other body. However, we understand that concerns raised by the public and by members of this committee have resulted in the amended bill that we have before us. We commend this committee for working hard to craft new language that is acceptable to all, and we have no objections to the current CS. This is a lengthy bill, but I'd like to raise a few points in regard to the sections that have raised the most discussion. First off, we believe this bill strengthens Alaskans' ability to participate in the public process during permitting. Section 4 encourages involvement during the early stages of the process when input and concerns can most practically be addressed. Second, general permits are used throughout the country by federal and state agencies to regulate common activities that are deemed to have minimal impact. The general permits envisioned in Section 1 will be subject to public comment and review, but once complete, will be of great benefit to individuals and small businesses who seek to do business on state land by simplifying permitting while still maintaining rigorous standards for protecting Alaskans. Finally, we wholeheartedly support in-stream water flow reservations being held by state agencies. The state is constitutionally mandated to manage our water for the maximum benefit of the people. Holding these reservations allows the state to properly balance demands for water while ensuring flows remain for the reserve purpose, including fish and wildlife habitat. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and we urge you to move this bill out of committee today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike, for your testimony. Next person in Anchorage is Cesar Martinson. After Cesar, we're going to Dillingham. Dorothy Larson is the next person on the list. So, Cesar, welcome.
Thank you, Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for taking my testimony today. My name is Cesar Martinson. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I'm speaking in opposition to HB 77. I refer to this as Let's Shred Our Constitution Act. I believe that this legislation is completely unnecessary, as our permitting process here in the state is a good one. I feel that this legislation is very extreme in that this is a bill that houses power in the executive branch, particularly in the hands of the Commissioner of Natural Resources. It takes away the ability of the public to be engaged and involved in resource development issues. And quite frankly, this bill strengthens the ability of outside foreign corporations in terms of making decisions about our resources. The state constitution is very clear about the fact that all of us own the resources of the state of Alaska, not outsiders, not foreign corporations. And I believe that when we talk about resource development issues legislatively and so forth, we need to be doing all that we can to strengthen the public process, not restrict it. I would also like to say in the closing of my comments that I think it is unfortunate that we are not given more time today to testify on this legislation, given what it does, and I would encourage Madam Chair and members of the committee to continue to hold this bill, to take testimony, and hopefully kill it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Cesar. Next is Dillingham, Dorothy Larson. The next person after Dorothy will be the Matsu Theodore Garcia. Dorothy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dorothy B. Larson, Tribal Administrator for the Children and Tribal Council in Dillingham, Alaska. I was born and raised here, have practiced hunting and fishing activities my entire life, and will continue to work diligently to assure there are protections for this way of life into perpetuity. The Children and Tribal Council and over 40 Alaska tribes and native groups passed resolutions opposing HB 77, and DNR's proposed changes, revealed less than 48 hours ago, failed to address our concerns. DNR has again worked behind closed doors without public consultation and process to revise this dangerously flawed bill, insists it addresses our concerns, but the bill is even more dangerous now. We request that our resolutions be posted to HB 77 public comment immediately so that our legislators can take into account our concerns when considering the revised bill. We have a responsibility to steward the land, water, and renewable resources, which we take seriously. HB 77 in its original and revised form will eliminate our ability to accomplish this by blocking public notice, comment, or process. even though the new version bars general permits for projects that would cause either significant or irreparable harm, once a blanket general permit is issued, specific developments could proceed with no further requirement for public notice or comment. Although tribes and individuals have been added back as eligible to apply for water rights, the water right would be held by a state agency no matter who applied. We disagree with this element. If we put in the time, money, and effort, we demand some form of input and control. Finally, the commissioner would have the discretion to decide when, in what order, and if an application is processed. But to apply for a water right, an applicant would have to provide at least 5 years of data to support the application, not knowing if their application would even be...
Dorothy, thank you for your testimony. Your 2 minutes is up. We have one last person we're going to hear from today, Theodore Garcia in the Matt Sue LIO. Theodore?
Theodore Garcia. Thea had to leave, so we have Penny Westing left.
That's great. Welcome, Penny.
Good afternoon. My name is Penny Westing. I am a registered voter, a homeowner with a small stream on my property, and a tribal citizen of Chickaloon Native Village. And I'm here to tell you that I strongly oppose House Bill 77 in any form. This bill needs to be trashed immediately.
Thank you. Is that conclude your testimony?
Yes, it does.
All right, great. Thanks very much, Penny. Thank you to everyone who testified. Those of you that are at LIOs, you can hand your testimony to the LIO staff who are present. LIO staff who are present, would you please ask for a show of hands of the folks in the LIO, those who wish to testify in favor of HB 77 and those opposed who have not yet spoken to the committee. So please clarify that. LIO administrators, I'd like you to send those numbers, please, to my office. The public testimony...
Ben Chair?
Hello? Yes, Senator French.
Hi, I'm Senator French. I wonder if we could do it here in the room. I know there's a lot of
we'll
people...
We'll do it here in the room in a moment. I'm not going to spend the time. We'll do it before we adjourn.
I just know
there's
a lot of people here who are in favor of the bill, and I'm sure they want to have their chance to be heard as well. I know there's
and
plenty of opposed.
They will be when we're done. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So at this time, I'm going to close oral public testimony. The bill will remain in committee. Anyone can send public testimony in at any time to my office. Those written comments will be gladly taken. They are entered into the record, and you can see that I've printed them out from today and given them to all committee members. So it will be on the public record. Our next meeting will be Friday, March 14th, again at 3:30, and we will continue consideration of HB 77. We also have a couple other bills that we may get to and may not. In any case, we're going to adjourn the meeting now. The time is officially 5:03 p.m. Thank you.